This is Phil Windley from IT Conversations. Today, it's my pleasure to bring you another edition of Tech Nation with Dr. Moira Gunn.
The Conversations Network is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we need your help. For a tax-deductible donation of as little as $5 per month, you can support this channel and the rest of the Conversations Network. So please visit conversationsnetwork.org to become a member and help us continue to bring our programs to the world for free. Our audio files are delivered by Limelight Networks, the high-performance content delivery network for digital media.
And now, here's the host of Tech Nation, Dr. Moira Gunn.
From San Francisco, I'm Moira Gunn, and this is Tech Nation. Today on Tech Nation, I speak with Duke University engineering professor Adrian Bejan, the author of Design in Nature, How the Constructal Law Governs Evolution in Biology, Physics, Technology, and Social Organizations. We can look at a city and see its streets laid out flat. That's a static image. Or we can look at it as a dynamic, all those cars and buses moving along the streets and highways. That's a different view. That's called flow.
Yes, it is the flow, but in addition, the channels through which that flow flows are morphing. The traffic pattern in a city is morphing from, is changing from year to year. If you compare the map of the city from one phone book to the next, you could actually make a movie of how the vasculature of humanity in your city has been evolving, say, during one decade or three. So it's a flow system that is alive because not only it flows, but because it morphs.
And flows over time.
Over time. So the dynamic aspect involves the, it includes, most importantly, the evolution of the design.
Everywhere you look, you see flow. And we'll, let's go for some examples of that, because everywhere we look now, I think we'll see flow. I mean, for starters, blood flows through our blood vessels.
Right, and it flows with the same tendency of flowing more and more easily with design as the tendency of water in the other channels, which are the river channels, or lightning, or the flow of the animal mass as flocks of birds or herds of wildebeest. It's all about moving mass on the world map, moving it more easily in time. And that tendency is answered with the good news that the design has the freedom to change.
Now, you did say lightning, and I think everybody got every example, but lightning as flow, it's very definitely flow.
Well, clearly, it's electricity flowing from a volume to one point, from the cloud to the tall tree. That electrical current, which is the lightning tree, entrains, as we know, the flow of air. We see that because of the tendency of that airstream to meander. But those complications do not take any of the tree away from the lightning tree. It's the same with the complications of everything else you mentioned. The trees of our vasculature are not perfect. In fact, they differentiate, say, you from me, but they're all trees. You see, they're vascular is the word for the tree architectures that represent life. And because of that, the river basin is just as alive as all the other examples, including the snowflake.
Now, fish could just swim around in the water wherever they wanted, but they swim in schools. There has to be an advantage to that.
The small ones swim in schools because the constructive law, one of the things we predicted with it was animal locomotion across the board. One aspect of that predicted design is that the larger are endowed or should be endowed with greater speeds. Well, how do the small then acquire greater speeds? Is by getting together and forming a a bigger thing that moves. This idea happened naturally also in air. You have flocks of birds. It also happened naturally to us. We're now flying on the flying carpets known as airliners, having evolved from the single-seat airplane only 100 years ago. So the movement of mass on the landscape is occurring with this tendency of design configuration that morphs. And this tendency does not care what is flowing through the channels, the water in the rivers, the animals, us for that matter. In other words, animate versus inanimate is not the issue. The what is not the issue. It is the how the flow system acquires configuration over time.
Now, you mentioned it earlier, the constructal law, and that's constructal, C-O-N-S-T-R-U-C-T-A-L, constructal. What is it?
The constructal law is the name for the statement, which is a statement of physics, which summarizes this phenomenon, this natural tendency that I just mentioned with examples. So here's the constructal law. For any finite size flow system to persist in time, and that means to live, it must evolve such that its configuration provides greater and greater access to the currents that flow. That's basically the tendency. It says absolutely nothing about what flows, animate or inanimate. It is about the how the flow system acquires configuration. Design and the evolution of design is the natural phenomenon that until before the constructal law did not have a principle of physics to make it legal. And this is actually an important point. We both come from engineering. Engineers invoke this principle mitigating or minimizing imperfections. It is an item of common sense to many people today. But there was no principle in physics justifying this activity or justifying the activity of medicine and doctors working very hard and with great success to make a better and better human body.
The difference between a law of physics and a law that we might make in Congress is that you make the law in Congress and then you start implementing it. That becomes a new law. A law of physics is a description of what's so in the universe.
Clearly. And also this, the law in Congress is also ruled by this law of physics, because
bad laws don't go anywhere.
Bad ideas do not travel. The law made by Congress is about improving the channels through which our society flows. The traffic laws would be the most rudimentary examples of the kind of stuff that society has invented and continues to finesse in order to make the flow of our stuff and ourselves easier and more efficient on the landscape. Before that, there was, of course, the paving of Roman roads. At that time, by the way, the rule of law was invented for this very same purpose. So civilization is not only engineering; it is the constant morphing of designs and tapestries of tree-shaped designs through which we and our stuff covers the landscape.
Now, when we talk about engineers and design, engineers will get together and say, this is good design. It means that it works.
Right.
Now, a lot of times when we're doing design, we say, well, what about the laws of thermodynamics? You can't break those. You're going to get it with bad design.
Mm-hmm.
But without knowing the laws of thermodynamics, you can create a good design and a bad design. And without knowing the constructal law, you can create a good design and a bad design. But knowing it, understanding it, changes how you might design.
Clearly, and that's it's a a great, great way to put it. The world is has managed without knowing the laws of thermodynamics. In fact, the steam engine was invented before the law of thermodynamics.
But just the other day, Jane Fonda was spouting about the second law of thermodynamics. So
wonderful.
She knows it. You know, come on. It's open. No, it's an open secret now.
Yeah, very good. So anyway, because we know the laws of thermodynamics, we can make better power plants. Because we know the constructor law, we know the light at the end of the tunnel, where the direction in which our is evolving. It is the direction that's predictable. The technology will go in that direction slowly or fast, depending on how we, the knowledgeable, apply all the principles that we know. Like any other law of physics, the constructor law educate us what to do and what not to do. In other words, to minimize.
Don't
the
go trailer. Here. We already know this. Yeah,
well,
do
true.
Go here. And I don't mean you, but as a designer, yeah. Don't go over here. You know it's going to burn up. Or,
yeah.
Or do go over here. It's going to work better. You yeah. know because you have the law.
Correct, correct. The law, or any law of physics, actually is empowering us to predict the future, to build the future, and to walk into it with confidence.
And you were saying inanimate and adamant, and I must say that people in general have had this sense of evolution and movement and how this works together in the biological sense, in the Darwinian sense, but you're saying it covers everything. And I think one of the things that really gave me a startling comparison there was actually the first photo in your book, not many of the later ones, the first one. There are two very similar pictures, a satellite image of a river in Siberia and one side of a human lung. And they look very similar. And then you read the subheading and realize, oh my goodness, one is completely adamant and one is completely inanimate in a real sense. So it's like, wait a minute, this has to do with all nature.
It has to do with a natural tendency. And one is huge and the other one is small. And if the lung is not small enough, you can take a picture of the lung of the mouse, and that will be even smaller, but it will have the same drawing. Okay, less complicated, but the same drawing, which is a tree. It's unfortunate that montage which I made is not shown in the book in color, but I think it is in color in other editions. The point is that even the colors look the same, not just the architecture.
Oh, really?
And
colors mean things, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah. So I agree with you. That's why it is the first image in the book. The law of physics does not care about what flows through the designs that belong really to nature and the evolution of those designs. Said another way, you pick another law of physics, for example, Newton's second law of motion, or its earlier version is Galileo Galilei's law of gravitational fall. It's both river water and rats that have gravitational fall as a tendency, you know? That's the way it is.
Everybody's got gravity.
Yeah,
sorry.
Wait. Yeah. Everything has weight. Well, it's the same with this. Everything that flows and moves manages to do so because it has flow configuration. And the flow configuration is not still art. It is not. Those drawings are morphing in time. The lung and the delta of the Lena in Siberia, they're morphing. So the designs for these flows are dynamic for two reasons. One is the flow through every channel. But much more important is the fact that the drawing itself is morphing. It is a movie, not one snapshot.
What you see in the picture is an instant.
Correct.
It only existed in that one instant.
It never goes back. Never goes back to that. instant, that screen of the movie doesn't come back.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You're listening to Tech Nation. I'm Moira Gunn, and my guest today is Adrian Bejan. He is the J.A. Jones Professor of Mechanical Engineering at Duke University and the author of over 500 peer-reviewed journal articles and 24 books, If you haven't heard of these books, their titles may give you a hint as to why. They include Advanced Engineering Thermodynamics and Convection Heat Transfer. Both in their third editions, they're used in graduate courses in universities worldwide. With Peter Zane, he's written a far more widely comprehensible book, which we're talking about today. It's called Design in Nature: How the Constructal Law Governs Evolution in Biology, Physics, Technology, and Social Organizations. Well, this idea of this law, this constructal law about flow, they didn't teach that when I went to school. I mean, when did this click on for you?
Well, actually, it clicked in September 1995, purely by accident. I was not looking to discover anything. In fact, I was doing my best to represent well my education, which is in thermal sciences from MIT. I was reporting by publishing the idea of how to...
This is scholarly reporting.
Yeah, I was working on the question of how to suck heat out of a box of electronics.
Very big, very important problem at
it's
that
a problem.
Time.
No,
think
even
about that time. Even
today,
it was always
forever. This is really
the computers were throwing off heat like mad.
Yeah, now they are throwing even more heat like mad. So without my thinking of the mid 1990s. You would not have cool boxes today. And yes, I was looking with an open mind at this question, and I figured out that the way to vehicle heat out of the flat box is the same way as vehicling water out of the plane under the rain, and that is by in a palm-like fashion. You know, fingers of heat come together into a river of heat that gets out of the box through one spot, which is known as the heat sink. So, in other words, trees of heat conduction out of the box make the best small-size box of electronics. This I discovered. It was from the idea of how to vehicle something with greater and greater access from, like, the air out of the human lung, okay? And... it was not by copying nature, but I had the drawings on my table. And then the chance was that in September 1995, I was attending a Congress Thermodynamics conference in Nancy, France, where the banquet speaker was Ilya Prigozhin, who was the still recent Nobel Prize laureate. He gave a banquet speech about thermodynamics, and he mentioned that... architectures such as the river basin and the lightning and the botanical tree are the result of throwing the dice.
Coincidence.
Not only coincidence, not only chance, but actually throwing the dice. This is the word.
It could have been anyway. Yeah. Happened to be that way.
Yeah, Las Vegas, throwing the dice. And I said, wait a second. This man does not know that in the meantime, back in the States, on my work table, I've got all the trees you want to look at, and they came from principle, not from looking at nature, from principle. And they're, of course, far from random, because I know which one is the best, and I drew it. So it occurred to me, by the way, I had goosebumps when I made this this connection. I said, first of all, he does know the principle, but the principle that all of us are invoking intuitively in engineering is capable of accounting for absolutely everything else in nature that throws the same architectures at us. So what we invoke in engineering without any right, because there was no such law in engineering or thermodynamics before the constructal law, is in fact the principle that underpins everything else out there, which is design and design evolution. And this principle is in fact a law of physics, or by the same token, a law of thermodynamics. So I made this. I traveled this road from the surprise to in fact inventing the constructal law in the course of a few hours, and from
yeah, it's a couple of hours once you saw it.
yeah, and from then on, I've been living this unexpected life of telling physicists and geophysicists and biologists and sociologists that their own field actually can benefit from knowing the law that accounts for a phenomenon that many people are still afraid to discuss, which is design in nature.
Well, truly you're the father of go with the flow. We'll say that, right?
By the way, I'm glad you mentioned that, because go with the flow is one of the many formulas of wisdom that our parents told us. In the constructor law field, we joke about these words of wisdom as constructor prefigurations. Go with the flow is one. If you cannot beat them, join them. Look for the path of less resistance, if not least resistance. Do not waste time. Do not hurry up and wait.
It's all part.
It's all. These are words of wisdom that speak of design. They speak of dwell, if you can, in the mainstream. Don't get stuck in the mud. These are words of wisdom that are in fact grandparents of the constructor law.
We're all so familiar with Darwin and Darwinism, and out of this came evolution is the survival of the fittest. You're saying that maybe that's not quite right.
No, it is incomplete. First of all, Darwinism is about chance and non-determinism. That, according to constructor law, is not correct. I will not repeat the law, because that would repeat why it is not correct. But in addition, Darwinism is incomplete because it is actually a circular point of view. Darwinism is incomplete because it is actually a circular point of view. You mentioned the survival of the fittest, and that also means that to be the fittest, the fittest is the one that survives. It's like saying A equals B. You need a second equation to figure out both A and B.
The weak one who couldn't move down the trail didn't get killed by what happened down the trail. the survival of the weakest in that instance.
And so the constructor law states in physics terms what it means to be the survivor. To persist in time, it states in physics terms, okay, what it means to be more and more efficient in time. It's physics; it's not about biology, and for that matter, it identifies biology as a compartment of the everything else, which is physics. It identifies sociology as another compartment of everything else, which is physics. If anything, the constructor law makes physics even more impressive than it already is, or even more encompassing than we all agree that it is, with gravity and the laws of thermodynamics and so on. So, if physics is the big tent, then the pillars that support this tent have their number has just increased by one because of the constructor law.
We always say humans are tool builders, but they're also system builders. And we're not just talking about engineers. I mean, office workers are designing information systems to make businesses run. Teachers are designing student projects and how their class is going to run. We are all constantly building things to put this together into, you know, to make things better for us, even our own lives. And so knowing about the constructor law actually changes our view of what's going on and what's possible.
Of who we are.
Of who we are.
Each of us, in fact, this is in the book and in the things I wrote before this book, each of us is much, much bigger than the naked Homo sapiens sketched in the anatomy book. Each of us is a global flow system. The artifacts that you mentioned, not just the tools, but the things that we possess, our possessions, our trade, our knowledge that, tea comes from Sri Lanka, or wine is to be bought from France or some place like that. This is how each of us is, in fact, shaped as a sphere with vasculatures that cover the globe. Those who are obviously more active, more alive, more affluent, cover the globe with thicker vessels and with more complicated tapestries of such flows. And so all the engineering that that you and I do, all the things that we read, the things that we learn, are the laws of the government that we obey, and all these things are instruments of improving the design through which we ourselves flow to cover the globe, to spread ourselves all over the globe. That's basically what's going on. I mentioned medicine, the improvement of science, the improvement of education, even the the improvement of art. All these things are things that that improve for each of us the global flow system that every individual represents.
You can't get out of it, and your heart is beating, and you're changing every single second.
Well, clearly, yeah, yes.
So we're living in a big dynamic.
That's right, and by the at the same time, or in the meantime, at a global scale, the channels through which we move our stuff cover the globe, and they morph all the time. Think of the air traffic system, which is global and which is discussed predictively in the book. That is morphing constantly, or it's morphing explosively, as it happened in this country when air traffic deregulation occurred. A few years after that, it happened in Europe. As soon as obstacles were removed, the drawing took a different shape, one that flows a lot more easily and more cheaply, and it's that's the way it's going to stay while morphing slowly from year to year.
You know, I have to laugh. I remember at Purdue, they had this huge, huge plaza, which had the paths crisscrossed, that type of thing. Then one year, it came the spring, and they put all new grass in, and they just watched. And they watched where the paths were, and they just went back in, and that's where they put the new cement paths. And from then on in, that's where the paths were. That's where people were walking. Right. It was the flow.
Right, and that, I've heard this story from colleagues in mechanical engineering. I mean, when I speak to audiences that tend to be familiar with engineering, they're obviously familiar with Purdue. They bring up this example, which is absolutely not only correct but a wonderful illustration of where how our own movement has acquired design on the globe, meaning this is the origin of human geography, and it is important to tell your story from Purdue because it contradicts the notion, which is of course circulated in the West, that people walk where the paths are. It's actually the other way around. The paths are where people walk.
You have no idea how hard this was to do because we're very big on our paths at Purdue, and I'll tell you why. Is that it was all done, you know, laid out by mechanical engineers and other engineers, and we have big steam plants that heat the whole place. And we were so clever; we put the steam tunnels underneath all the sidewalks all over this huge campus. So no matter how much it snows, how much ice there is, the sidewalks are always clear.
Clean, yeah.
So can you imagine what it was like, how much it took to say, oh, we'll build a sidewalk and there won't be a steam tunnel underneath? You know, where's the good design there? But,
yeah.
I mean, this is it's a really huge lesson that even when you're trying to do it right and smart, you got to keep looking at something bigger. In fact, you say, I'm just taking the sentence directly from your book, the constructor law teaches us that nothing operates in isolation, and every flow system is part of a bigger flow system, shaped by and in service to the world around it.
Clearly, yeah, that's right. That's right. Your example is about the natural tendency of in this case, individuals, which together, without talking to each other, exhibit a flow pattern. The flow pattern happens because the flow pattern where the organization is helps or serves everybody. The flowing together is the reality, which is that the animal or the individual walking is just one detail out of something much bigger that flows, flows with design as well. And it is, if you are to if you really worry about the better and better life, which means flow of the small, in this case, the individual, you are much better equipped to realize that both the individual and his or her environment are actually flowing together. And that better life, which is, again, a better flow structure, is to be designed at all scales, not just at the small scale that that first attracts you. So it is... to us, a very a happy work trail. It is a liberating direction, one in which we have the freedom to change anything and everything. But because we are educated with other principles from physics and engineering, we know how to search for these designs and configurations faster and with greater confidence.
I have to tell you, it completely struck me that this goes beyond adamant and inanimate objects when I realized that if we look at communications with the internet, with the great body of human-generated, interconnected information, which is evolving as we speak, the great flow of ideas between and among people, and if we look at any search engine, it's like it's not just telling you, oh, here's the information here. Here's where the trails are. Here's where the rankings. Here's who's referencing and linking through. The potential creativity of collective humanity is about to speak.
Yes, definitely. And all these things you mentioned are sparks of wisdom on our part. We've been alerted to the fact that we're connected, quote unquote, we're linked, we are in networks. These words speak of drawings, but they speak of still images. It's not about links. It's about currents. There is a link, yes. There's a black line on a white piece of paper, but actually it represents a flow. Just like the flow rate of water in a river channel. It's not a link. It is a flow. Knowledge is not an exchange. Knowledge, like everything else, flows only from high to low. To know where to go is important. To know what not to do is also important. To know what will happen if you do A as opposed to B is basically the key to any and every one of our movements. All that learning is for the purpose of moving more and more easily on the landscape, farther, longer lasting, with greater health, and for longer. Yeah,
Adrian, this has been absolutely terrific. You come back. See us anytime.
Thank you for inviting me. Please invite me again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My guest today is Adrian Bejan. The book is Design in Nature, How the Constructal Law Governs Evolution in Biology, Physics, Technology, and Social Organizations. It's published by Doubleday. More information about this interview is available on the web at technation.com. For TechNation, I'm Moira Gunn.
You've been listening to the IT Conversations podcast edition of TechNation with Dr. Moira Gunn. Most editions of TechNation are recorded at the studios of KQED in San Francisco. TechNation is also available on over 200 public radio stations throughout the United States, as well as on Armed Forces Radio. Please check your local listings for time and availability.
The post-production audio engineer for this program was Paul Figiani.
My name is Phil Windley, and I hope you'll join me next time for another edition of TechNation here on IT Conversations.